The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now learning the laws of the preparation for the Seder. We are in Simin Kuf Yud Ches, Sif Aleph. And the first thing we have to discuss is what type of wine to acquire for the Seder. Yehader Acha Yayin Yafeh LeMitzvas Arba Kosas. One should pursue a good wine for the mitzvah of the four cups. V'im Yesh Benimsa Yayin Adom. And if it is available to acquire red wine, yafeh, which is good, kemo halavan, like the white wine, v'gam hu kosher kemo halavan, and also it's just as kosher like the white wine, mitzvah bo yoseh mi belavan. So it is more of a mitzvah to use red wine for the four cups than to use white wine. Shenemar, like it says in the pasuk, Al teira yayin ki yisadam. Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, do not look at wine when it is red. The implication is, the Kitzur tells us, mashma shechashivusa sheyayin hu keshehu adam. The implication is that the chashivus, the special significance of wine, is when it's red. So for the Seder, for the mitzvah, the four cups, we want to use a wine that's more distinguished. And that's why red wine is preferable. V'od, furthermore he says, l'fishyesh bo zecher l'adam. Another reason to use red wine is because it reminds us of the blood. Shehayu paro shochet yaldei b'nei Yisrael. Because paro slaughtered the children of the Bnei Yisrael, and we want to remember that part of the Golus Mitzrayim. Ubimedina shel umos tipshim uscholim, and in countries where the goyim are foolish, lahalo alila shkarim, and they make blood libels. They claim that Jews use Christian blood for the Seder, and they would be endangering Jewish lives if someone would use red wine. So nimno milikach yayin adom lePesach. So then they should refrain from taking red wine for Pesach, because white wine is just fine as well. Halacha beis lutzarach tibo harishon, for the purpose of the first dip, shehu karpas, which is the karpas that we dip into salt water, nogim harbe likach petrazil. Many people have the practice that they use parsley. Vitov yoseh, but it is even better, lekachas tzelar. It is even better to use celery. Sheyesh lo tam tov, because it has a good taste, kishehu choy, when it is raw, when it's uncooked. And you see that it's better for karpas to have something with a good taste. But what's the best thing to use? V'hamivchar hu lakachas tzinon. The best thing to use is a radish. Now it's interesting because in most areas of Europe, they didn't have many of these vegetables. And what was commonly used was potatoes. In fact, for karpas, you can use almost anything, but you cannot use a vegetable which would be acceptable for maror. So to use horseradish or lettuce would be problematic. But other than that, there's a wide range of things that could be used. The Mishnah Berurah says that's ideal, that should be something which is bracha, is berei periho adama. Halacha gimel. Now we're up to the preparations for maror. Litzarech maror noagin likach tamcha. For the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of maror, the custom is to use horseradish. V'kevan shu charif ma'od, since it is something which is extremely sharp, yecholin leforero biribaisin, they are allowed to grate it with a grater. Rak sheyizharu, but they should be careful, shela yafug legarmi, that it shouldn't lose its sharp taste entirely. V'yesh leforero kishabo'in mi beis hakneses, and it should be crumbled into tiny pieces when they come home from shul. Now the Mishnah Berurah points out that one should be very careful not to eat horseradish straight, because without being grated, because that would be dangerous. But rather, it should be grated. Ubishabis asurin leforo. On Shabbos, it would be aser to crumble it into small pieces. It would be the melacha of tochen. Eletzrich and the faro called them a laila, but rather you have to do it before Shabbos begins. V'chaseo at a laila, and then cover it until you're ready to use it at night. Avo yoser tov, but even better, lekachas chazeres shehi salat, to take lettuce. V'noach la'ochla, and it is easy to eat it. V'nikreis maror, and the reason why it's referred to as maror, as bitter, even though it's not really quite bitter, l'fikesh shoha b'karka, is because when it stays in the ground, nasa hakelach mar, the stalks become bitter. V'yotzim gam bilana hanikvar vermut. And you could also be yotze, your mitzvah of maror, with wormwood. Kol haminim sheyotzim behem, all of the different types of produce with which you can fulfill the mitzvah of maror, mitztarfim ze im ze likizayis. You can use them in a way that collectively they add up to the prescribed minimum of the kizayis. V'yotzim bein ba'olin bein beklachin, and we can fulfill the mitzvah whether with the leaves or with the stalks. Avolo bishroshim, but not with the roots. Dahainu shroshim haktanim hamispatzlim lakan ulakan, meaning one cannot fulfill the mitzvah with the small little roots that turn off in all directions. Avo hashorish agado, but the large root, shebo gidele ma'olim, on which the leaves grow, afshehu tamon bekarka, even if it remains buried in the ground, harehu beklal kalach, this is in the category of a stalk, and one would be allowed to fulfill his mitzvah with that. Umiko makam, in any case, tov yoser lito ha'olim va'kelach hayotze chutz lekarka, it is best to use the leaves and the stalks that do protrude from the ground. Kiyesh omrim, since there are those that say, shemashu bekarka nikra shorash, so anything that is submerged under the soil, that would be considered a root. So even though the Kitzah Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that strict view, what he says is it's best to fulfill all perspectives, and therefore it's best not to use that which normally grows underneath the ground. Then he proceeds and says, Ha'olim ein yotzim behen ela im kein hein lachem. One cannot fulfill their mitzvah of maror with leaves unless the leaves are moist. Avo haklachem, but when it comes to the stalks, yotzim behen bein lachem bein yaveshin, we can do the mitzvah with them whether they are moist or whether they are dry. Ach lo b'mivusholin o kvushim, but not when they are cooked or soaked. Halacha dalid. Hacharoses sorak sheyir aver zeicha latit. The charoses needs to be thick as a remembrance of the cement that the Jewish people had to use when they were working in Mitzrayim. ubishar shehut sarach litbo as a maror, and at a time that he needs to dip the maror, yishboch lisocho yayin o chometz, he should pour into it wine or vinegar, sheyer rach, so that it should be soft, zecher ladam, in order that we should remember the blood, vigam sheyer roi letabulbo, and also that it should be worthy of dipping into it. Now today, most people don't pour the wine in immediately before using it, but they do so before the Seder. Yesh lasos es acharoses miperos. The charoses should be made from fruits, shenimshela behem Knesset Yisrael, which the Jewish people are compared to. Kigon te'enim, such as figs, shenemar ha'te'ena chanta payeya, ve'egozim, and like nuts, shenemar oginos egoz, utamarim, and like dates, shenemar ela bisamar, ve'rimonim, such as pomegranates, shenemar kipelach rimon, ve'tapuchim, and apples, zeich lemashar kosuv, in remembrance of what is written, tachas hatapuach oraticha, that I aroused you underneath the fruit tree, which is a reference to the situation in Mitzrayim, that the Egyptians were attempting to stop Jews from reproducing. So Chazal tell us, Shehoyu hanoshim yoldosham, that the women would give birth there underneath the apple trees. Shehoyu hanoshim yoldosham b'neim b'loatzev, the women would give birth there without any pain, without difficulty. So, since we want to recall that miracle, that's why we use apples. Ushkedim, and almonds, al shem sheh shokad HaKadosh Baruch Hu al haketz la'asos. Since Hashem was shokad, Hashem was diligent, that he was careful about the ketz to fulfill it, that he promised he would take us out at the end. And in fact, he did. V'tzorech liten besocho tavlin hadome leteven. And we're supposed to put in the charoses spices that would resemble straw, kigon, kinamon, v'zangvil, such as cinnamon and zangwil, she'enam nidochim hodek hetev, that do not get fully ground, v'yesh behem chutin kimo teven, and they have little strings, sort of like straw. Zeichel ateven, shayu magbilin besochatit, as a remembrance of the straw that they had to make into cement. Now this that he said, that you should pour the wine into the charoses, now he qualifies it, and says, b'shabbos, lo yishboch es hayayin o achometz lesoch hacharoses, on Shabbos, one should not pour the wine or the vinegar into the charoses, kitzarach lasos b'shinoi, because then he would have to make it with a shinoi in order not to be in violation of the malacha of lush. So rather, what should he do? V'yitein es hacharoses l'soch hayayin v'achometz. Rather, he should make a change, and he should put the charoses into the wine or the vinegar. That's not the wine and vinegar into the charoses, but you do something unusual, you put the charoses into the wine and vinegar. So now he speaks about making the salt water. He says, v'yes mei ha-melech, and as far as the salt water, afilo kishalocho yom tev b'shabbos, even when Yom Tov does not fall on Shabbos, still he should not make it then. Yasem may erev Yom Tov, rather it should be done from before Yom Tov. V'imoseo b'Yom Tov, and let's say he neglected to do it before Yom Tov, and he ends up doing it on Yom Tov. Tzarech lasos b'shinoi, he should make something unusual about it. First he should put the water and afterwards the salt. Now the Mishnah Berurah implies, not like the Kitzur, that when Yom Tov does not fall on Shabbos, there's absolutely no problem with making the salt water. It's mutar l'chachila. and you don't have to do any shino, you don't have to make any change in it at all. And he only says it to do it from Erev Yom Tov in the case where Leil Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Even then, if one neglected to do it on Friday, they would be allowed to make a little bit on Shabbos itself, and it would not require shinoi. Halacha Hey. In the days of the Beis HaMikdash, Leil Pesach looked very different than it does today. The primary part of the Seder was all based around the Korban Pesach. Chazal did not want us to forget what the real Pesach Seder was like. So there were certain institutions that they made in order to make sure that we can recall that there's something lacking at our Pesach Seder. Mishachar of Beis HaMikdash, Tiknu Chachamim, the Chachamim instituted when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Sheyu al Hashulchan Bishas Amiras Hagada, Shnei Minei Tafshilim, that when people are saying the Agada, there must be on the table two types of cooked dishes. Echad Zeche LeKorban Pesach, V'Echad Zeche LeKorban Chagiga. One dish is going to correspond to the Korban Pesach, and the other one to the Korban Chagiga. Shayu Makrivim Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYikayim, which they would sacrifice at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Now, of course, this is not a Korban Pesach, it's not a Korban Chagiga, and it does not have any of the halachas of Pesach or Chagiga, but it's just some way to remind us that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the Pesach Seder was very, very different than today. V'nagu, and the minag is, she'achad mina tafshilin yia basar, is that one of the cooked dishes will consist of meat, v'yia miperek hanikra zeroa, and it should be from the section of the animal which is known as the shank bone. L'zeicha she'ge'olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'zroa netuya, so that we could remember that Hashem redeemed us with an outstretched arm. V'yenitzla al gecholim zeicha lePesach, and it would be roasted over coals as a remembrance of the Korban Pesach, shehayetzli esh, which was roasted over fire. So this first cooked dish is serving two roles. Number one, it's to remind us of the Korban Pesach, and secondly, the reason why it consists of a shank bone is to remind us of the fact that Hashem took us out bizroa netuya, with an outstretched arm. Now, how about the second one? V'hasheni yia beitza, the second one should be an egg, mishum de beitza b'loshen arami beya, because in Aramaic, the way you say egg, the way you say beitza, is beya, kilomar, as if to say, deboi rachmana lemifrak yasana bidirasa miramima, that it should please the merciful one, it should please Hashem to redeem us with an outstretched arm. It's a play in words. The boi like beya, sort of like it's a tefillah, that it should please Hashem that He should redeem us with an outstretched arm. V'osin ha-beitza bein sluya bein mivusheles, and the egg can be either roasted or cooked. V'tzarech litzloson ulevashlon me'erev yomtev mibeod yom, and it needs to be roasted and cooked from before Yom Tov. V'im shochach o shehoye Shabbos, and if he forgot, or if Erev Pesach was Shabbos, when you can't roast, then yitzle v'yavashu osam b'laylam, so then that night, meaning Leil Seder, you'd be allowed to roast it and cook it. Avot tzarech la'achlon b'yom tov rishon, but you have to make sure to eat it on that day of Yom Tov, meaning either at night at the Seder or the next day. Now, the Ramah brings down that our minig is dafka, that the egg should be roasted, not cooked. Now, the Kitzer goes on and says, V'chein below sheni, yitzlem v'yavashlem v'yochlem v'yomtev sheni, The same thing is true on the second day, meaning if you roast it at night for the second Seder in Chutz Laretz, so then it has to be eaten at some point in the second day of Yom Tov. You're not allowed to cook or roast something on Yom Tov for the purpose of eating it after Yom Tov. Because you can't cook from one day of Yom Tov to the next, nor from Yom Tov to a non-Yom Tov day. In this case, it would be Chol HaMoed. Ulefisha ein ochlin bisar tzli b'shtei leilos elo. Since you don't eat any cooked meat on these two nights, because we don't want anyone to get confused and think that it is the Korban Pesach. Alkein tzorach le'echol es hazroa dafka b'yom. So therefore, the zroa, the shank bone, has to be eaten specifically during the daytime. Meaning, if you can eat it at all, which is the case if you roast it at night, then it must be done in the daytime. V'afkesh et solun asan b'erev yom tif, ein lezorkon achakach. And even though it gets roasted on erev yom tif, it should not be thrown away afterwards. But rather, it should be put on the second day into some dish, which you're cooking, and it could be eaten as such. Meaning, it's not simply true that if you cook it on Yom Tov, you should eat it on Yom Tov, but even if you cook it or roast it before Yom Tov, you should try to eat it on Yom Tov, Yom Tov Sheni, assuming, of course, it's still good. Halacha Vav. Yochin Moshavo mi ba'od yom. A person should prepare his seating from before Yom Tov. B'matzaos na'os kefi yecholto. With beautiful pillows according to his ability. Now, I use the term pillows. Literally, matzaos is more like bedding or mattress. But the way we eat is that we sit on chairs and then we recline on pillows. If someone could recline on the bed, then he should, of course, prepare that before Yom Tov. Ube'ofen sheyucha lahatos or lahosev bismolo, in a manner that he is able to lean and to eat while reclining on his left side. Vafilo hu iter, even if he is a left-handed person, Yosef Bismol Shako Adam, he should still recline on that which is the left side of all people. It's considered dangerous to recline on the right side because we're concerned that the food would go down the wrong pipe. Gam Esakara Yochin mi ba'odiyom. Also, the Seder plate should be prepared while it is still day. Kidei Shemiyad Bivo mi Beisa Knesses. Yuchal lasos es haseder bli ikuv, so that as soon as you come home from shul, the seder can begin without delay. We don't want to delay the seder because the children may have difficulty staying awake, and it would be a pity for them to lose out on such an important night. And also, there's often pressure to finish in time for chatzos halayla. So it's important to make sure that all of the arrangements and all of the preparations are made beforehand, so that as soon as the men come home from shul, then the Seder can begin. Halacha Zayin. Afal pi shebecho ashana tov lemayit bekelim na'im zecher lechorban. Even though the entire year it is good to hold back with beautiful kelim, so that we can remember the destruction of Yerushalayim. Mikol makom b'leil ha-Pesach. However, on the night of Pesach, tov laharbos b'kelim na'im kefi kolchol. It is good to have an abundance of beautiful articles there according to one's ability. V'afilu ha-kelim she'ein tzrichin l'suda. Even those articles that he does not need for the suda, Yisadreim yafeh al shochan lanoi, he should set them up on the table so they could be beautiful. Zeich el acherus, to remember the freedom, because people who are free, people who are wealthy, they have the table set with beautiful dishes, with beautiful dinnerware sets. In Halacha Ches, we discuss how to set up the Seder plate. Now, there are different opinions here, and the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch will be following the position of the Arizal, which is based on Kabbalah. He says, Seder HaKa'ara Kachu. The order of the Seder plate is as follows. Maniach Shalosh Matzos Al HaKa'ara Uparas Aleihem Mapana. We place three matzos on the Seder plate, and we spread over them a beautiful covering. V'aleha maniach es hazroa neged hayamin shelo. And on it we put the shank bone on its right side. V'es habetza mismolo. And the egg will be on the left side. Hamara lebracha be'emtza. The mara on which we make the bracha goes in the middle. Charoses tachas hazroa. The charoses goes underneath the shank bone. Karpas tachas habetza. The karpas goes underneath the egg. Umorer lekricha beemtza. And the morer, which has been used for korech, is put in the middle, kazet, like the following. And here the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch has a picture. He shows the zroa on the right, the beitza on the top left, the moror in middle underneath it, then goes karoses on the right, karpas on the left, and moror underneath it. Basically, it makes the form of having a segel on top of a segel. And this is based on Kabbalistic reasons. Now, the Ramah has a different shita about how to organize the Seder plate. And his concern is that we don't want to jump over mitzvahs. So what he does is he says that the karpas should be closest to the person. After that goes the morer. After that goes the matzah. After that goes morer with charoses. And then in the end goes the zroa and the egg, which are not really necessary. So the organization is done in a way that the first mitzvah that we do, that would be closest to us. The last mitzvah that we do, which would be the zeroa, because there's not really anything to do with it, or the beitza, which is the egg, which would be consumed at the meal, so that would be put furthest away. Of course, everyone should follow the minug of his family. Halacha Tes. The cups that are used for the arba kosos, it says, hakosos yoshlemos. The cups should be complete. There shouldn't be any defects in them. Belishum pegima. Now, pegima means, again, there should be no defect at all in it. Umudachos yofer, and they should be well washed out. V'yachziko l'ko hapachos revius. And they should have the capacity of at least a revius. Now, in the event that Pesach is Leil Shabbos, so then the cup that is used for Kiddush, for the first of the four kosos, really has to contain more than a revius. But that we'll discuss later on. Halacha Yud, Minhagenu Lilbosh Es HaKittel. The Kitzur says that our minug is that we wear a kittel for Leil Seder. Now, this is by no means a universal practice, but many Ashkenazim do have the custom of wearing a kittel. It's a long white robe for the Seder. V'yachino gam kein mibe'od yom. It should be prepared while it's still day, before Yom Tov. U'mishehu ovel, rachmanu litzlan. Someone who, God forbid, is a mourner, Eina lovshim, he should not wear a kittel. Avo beseba chayev, but he's still required to do heseba. Although the Mishnah Berurah says that when he reclines, he should recline with a little bit different than he normally does. Rak im lo nog avelos klau kodim yomtif, but let's say he did not start Shiva from before Yom Tov. Kigon Shekaver Mesa B'Yom Tov. For example, the body was buried on Yom Tov itself, which used to be a common practice. Nogin She'eino Mesiv. Then the minig is that he does not recline at all. V'halo Omer. But someone who's a mourner would say Hallel. Ki ha-Hallel hu chiyuv, because saying Hallel is definitely an obligation there on everyone. Now there's one more halacha regarding reclining. Halacha Yud Aleph. Ben Eitzo Aviv Chayev Be'Seba. A child who's sitting in the presence of his father is still obligated to recline. It's not considered disrespectful to the father to recline in his presence. Avo Talmud Eitzo Rabbo Eino Tzarech. But a student in the presence of his Rebbe is not required to recline. The Mishnah Berurah elaborates somewhat and says that in the event that his Rebbe is his father, so then he would be required to recline. Furthermore, in any case that the Rebbe gives the Talmud permission to recline, then he is supposed to recline. But if he doesn't give permission, even though the Kitzur sort of implies Ein Tzarech, he doesn't need to, but he's allowed to. But we hold the halacha is that if he doesn't give permission, he's actually not even allowed to. To recline in the presence of one's Rebbe, when he doesn't give him permission to do so, would be considered disrespectful to the Rav.